Here's the latest North Carolina Public Radio news from WNC, online at wnc.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Recently, as you know, all five of the top gubernatorial candidates came out against allowing illegal immigrants access to our community college system. You openly disagreed with their position.
Well, there are a couple of reasons. First of all, I want to be real clear. I don't want anything illegal going on in North Carolina. My background is district attorney, prosecutor, attorney general. But I also learned back then that laws don't mean anything unless there's law enforcement. Washington, they have not closed the borders. They're not enforcing immigration. Illegal immigrants, for all practical purposes, have about all the legal rights that you could have in every state. All the states are required to offer education, K through 12. Then that population stays here and is embedded and integrated into our state as well as every other state in America. Now, here's the question that gets to the governors. If you're going to have people here that, you know, the kids come over here when they're little, you know, they're babies, and they graduate, distinguish themselves all the way through the K through 12 system, pre-K, 14 years of it, do you want to suppress them? So that you got a permanent underclass, or do you want to give them the opportunity to reach their full potential while Washington's trying to figure out what the heck they're going to do? And I think this is an agonizing decision that people have to make. Now, I'm making it not based on what I think is just morally correct or what I think is the nice thing to do. Which generally is what Americans will end up doing anyway. I'm looking at it strictly as a business decision that in order for North Carolina to continue to compete, win, and dominate the world economy, and America to do that, we're going to have to educate as many people as we can find within the borders of this country. Unless Washington really can get 13 million people rounded up and sent back to Mexico. That's a cop-out. We'll say, oh, we're going to round them up, throw them all over the fence. That's not going to happen. And when people say, oh, we're just going to grant amnesty to everybody, we're not going to do anything about the borders, that's another cop-out. So somewhere in between all of that is what we have to address, which is, first of all, get control of the borders so people know what we're dealing with. Then I think they're willing to start trying to work out on a solution of what we're going to do long-term with those who are here now. It's just a problem that's going to continue to make all of us in this country make tough decisions that we're not comfortable with.
Do you think it's going to be the top issue here in North Carolina? I mean, we're picking a president and a senator this year, so it's going to be. What do you think is going to be the top issue?
In most elections, the top issue generally will always come back to economy. Security is going to be a major issue as long as it's the top news story. You're seeing that move off a little bit and being replaced by health care. And people care about that almost as part of the economy, because if you can't solve this health care issue, then you can't keep workers secure. It's something that has to be addressed and solved nationally. However, just creating insurance for everybody is not going to solve the health care problem. We got to start looking at, and we have been looking at ways to get cost down, treatment up, health and wellness of the citizens up, and I hope we can do more of that next year. We also have to address mental health. The reform that took place in 2001 just has not worked out like it should.
Anything else high on your agenda?
Well, you know, education always is, and there's a lot more to do there. We got to finish what we started and start some other things so that the next governor and the next legislature have foundations upon which they can build. We've got to continue to find efficiencies. Every one of our departments right now are going through trying to find where they can make efficiencies. We certainly got to deal with transportation, revenue, you know, the cost of of building highways has skyrocketed up about 80% just since I took office because of the increase in oil, the
right.
petroleum products and that you build highways with. So when they go up, it all goes up. And we're going to have to find money to do that. And then there's this, you know, big demand to cap the gas tax. So it's the, you know, you can't have it both ways. If you ever get behind the curve, like some states have, some cities have, with your roads, nobody that I've seen has ever worked out of it. So my goal is not to get behind the curve, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get there. But people just well know it's going to take some more money, and it's, you know, it's not going to grow on trees. I hope we can get a lot more done. I mean, there's, you know, you got a year left, a little over a year, actually about 13 months. Some people never get to serve a year in office. So we're going to be hard at it, pedal to the metal, and see how much we can get accomplished.
So what are you doing for the holidays? You told me a little story last year about a family tradition that I think involved a dollar store.
Oh, the family dollar store. Yeah, well, we started early with Michael, my son, who is, he may have outgrown it now. He's a first-year law student. But I would take him down and I'd say, you can buy your mom anything you want to buy her. And he would buy all kinds of stuff. He was, couldn't be over 3 years old at the time. He'd get her those deodorizers you hang from the rearview mirror in a car, and get her socks with non-skid on the bottom, and we'd go back, we'd wrap all the junk up, and you know, you wouldn't spend $10, and she'd have to open all the gifts and say, "Oh, isn't that lovely? Just what I've always." Didn't she have to wear it? She had to put the deodorizer up on the rearview mirror and all that
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff. So we still go out, and she makes a list of stuff she wants. We usually get her some corn holders every year. She might have 2,000 corn holders by now. And we always try to make a piece of furniture for Christmas, and we give it to her, and then we take it back, you know, and use it. Well, we want to use it after, but we let her have it for Christmas. And
how does she feel about this piece of furniture that comes to her and then goes back to you?
Well, she works with us pretty well. I mean, she makes me a lot of things like socks, but she does it. I mean, it's kind of one of these, you're not sure whether she's being passive-aggressive. She makes these real loud, you know, flame-stitch kind of stuff that nobody would ever wear, and then she gives it to me and says, "Honey, I made these for you, and I work real hard at them. I want you to..." And I mean, like, what am I supposed to do with these things? So I wear them on special occasions. Like, I have one pair I wore at First in Flight 2003 when we had the 100-year anniversary for First in Flight. I have one pair I wore for the second inauguration.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.